This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gumpfener, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Keller. Along with me this week, it's just Tyler. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. I've got my son next to me, hashtag family slash dad life.
Awesome.
But things are great. Getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, which later on, I do have a question for you for all the fans after your... Well, how about we just give this to you? At first, we'll announce the guest, and then we will let you have the floor about... Tim's got some big news that I can't hold in. I probably won't be able to hold in during the show. So I will introduce our guest quick. It is the one and only Doug Edie.
we just have this discussion.
That's why I did it.
Gotcha. No.
Son of a bitch.
But yeah, we have Doug Edie here. He's our guest. He's part of the Dynasty Happy Hour network that we have together. He's a great analysis. Doug, the floor is yours. Let everybody know who you are and what you are about.
So Doug Edie, I've been playing fantasy since 1999. Whew, I am old. And I'm part of the tffgurus.com initiative where you can find all sorts of good redrafts and dynasty information. I'm the host of the Trophy Time podcast, which you can find on all the major services, iTunes, Google Play, as well as tffgurus.com. I got to say, I'm pretty psyched to be here. I know I'm following up Mike Wright, the hitman, who's got like 45,000 followers, and I have 20, I think. So it's pretty awesome to be on the same podcast that he was just on. So that's pretty cool. So thank you for having me, guys.
By all means, thank you for coming on. Real quick, before we get into anything, today we're going to talk about some startup rookie values and where to take them. We want to look at QB evaluations for Superflex and two QB leagues. It's always a tough one to try to figure out there. And then we're also going to look back at some of the biggest rookie movers now that the pro days are starting to flow in. We're starting to get some numbers from more and more pro days. We also have some sponsors we want to thank, the first one being the Sit or Start app. The Sit or Start app is the premium app for all your Sit or Start questions. Obviously, this is the offseason, but that doesn't matter. Football does not end at the Sit or Start app. They're here to help you stay in tune with all the offseason news and notes. So go over, download the Sit or Start app. You won't be disappointed. Our other sponsor, RSO, Reality Sports Online. Have you ever wished to be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online, a powerful fantasy football platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team just like an NFL general manager. Reality Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features a revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency. It enables fantasy owners to negotiate and sign NFL's top talents to single or multi-year contracts. The platform can host up to 32 teams, has tons of cool features in addition to free agency, like a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, injured reserve, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills for free with our 14-day free trial at realitysportsonline.com. If you like what you see, you can use the promo code HAPPY10 to receive a 10% discount for your team or league. Fantasy just got real over at realitysportsonline.com. And then lastly, our last sponsor, myfantasyleague.com. If you're just trying to play in a ho-hum dynasty league, not like Reality Sports where you're doing all the contracts and stuff, myfantasyleague.com is the host site you want to be using. They definitely are the most popular. You have a million different options of how to build your leagues, how to score your leagues, all the different lineup setups. Go over to myfantasyleague.com. If you haven't already, sign up, get a league going over there. You will not be disappointed over there. And before we get into the show, real quick, Tyler kind of spilled the beans. I was going to save this for the end of the episode, but as many of you guys know, I've been working two jobs for about 2 years this month. I was recently offered a full-time position at one company. It was a fantastic offer, but the hours are going to conflict with the podcast. So I am at least temporarily stepping away from the podcast. I let Chris and Tyler know earlier this week. I let the guys over at the site know. I'm still going to be part of the site. It's actually going to give me more time to do some more writing. I'll get to focus in more on my rankings, things like that, but I just won't have the availability to be on the podcast, at least currently. So hopefully a little bit down the road, some things can open up, some things can switch around, change, and I can get back on the pod. But I want to thank Chris and Tyler first for bringing me in, having me on. It's been a blast. This is definitely home for me now. I want to thank all the guys and the writers over the site. You guys are awesome. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's keep pumping out this content. And then to all the fans from Dynasty Red Zone and now Dynasty Happy Hour, I've been blown away the entire time by the support and how much love I've received out there in the community. So thank you guys so very much. You guys make this so much easier to do. So I got one more show after today, and I'll be signing off for the last time, but hopefully I can get back soon. So with that, we're going to get into things, and we're going to talk about some of these rookies here. We wanted to go over some startup rookie values. We want to go through the ADP of these rookies, 1 through 12. So, Doug, let me go over here and pull up this ADP. We're going to be using the DLF ADP, and we want to use March's ADP, obviously, and not February.
Absolutely.
Not February's like I have pulled up. So looking at the ADP here, I have the first overall rookie pick of Leonard Fournette, followed by Dalvin Cook, Corey Davis, Mike Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, John Ross, Juju Smith-Schuster, Alvin Kamara, Curtis Samuel, Samaje Perine, and O.J. Howard that rounds out your normal first round for a 12-team league. So out of these top 12, what guy stands out to you as high, low, or does this sound about right for you?
So I was looking it over earlier and doing a little bit of data research, and I think it sounds, there's a lot of cases to be made about player for player when you look through all these names. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not too far off. I think some of the things that stood out to me, I don't really have too much problem with Leonard Fournette at 21 over guys like Gronk and Alshon Jeffrey, mm-hmm. or even Jordan Howard. You know, a lot of people think that he might just be a 1 year wonder, you know, some of the tape and things like that. Plus that offense might not be very good. One that really stood out to me was Dalvin Cook's current ADP is 26th overall. And the guy right behind him, that one of the next running backs off the board, was Jay Ajayi, who was 36th. I think I'd rather have Ajayi over Dalvin Cook. What do you think?
Yes, I think as of right now, especially if that Miami offensive line can stay healthy and play like they mm-hmm. were at times last year, I think Jay Ajayi, I don't think he's going to have back-to-back 200-yard games.
No.
Again, I mean, that was something special. You know, if you had Jay Ajayi and you kind of were wishy-washy on him then, that gave you that sell window that you had always been looking for. So I don't expect that to necessarily happen again, but Jay Ajayi has always been a guy I've been a little bit of a truther on and a believer in. So, I'm going to stick with Jay Ajayi there over Dalvin Cook. There's just too much unknown, and we've seen too many of these high-profile running backs coming out of college, come into the league, and just too many of them don't work out.
Yeah, so. And I'm a huge Dalvin Cook guy. I'm an FSU fan, so I've seen every single game that Dalvin's played in. So I know the combine was disappointing, and that started to knock him down a little bit from an ADP perspective. It'll be interesting once April comes up before the draft where he slides, because I think he will. So I think you might see a Jai get bumped up in front of Dalvin, you know, come next month. But I love Dalvin Cook, but I'm still going Jai Ajayi.
Okay, and I'm looking here, and
I've got one.
Oh, go ahead.
Let's see. We got Christian McCaffrey ahead of Derrick Henry. Now, I don't know what Chris would say about that, but I can only imagine. Now, would you take McCaffrey over Henry, kind of seeing Henry's success and athleticism and how dominant he was at times against NFL defenses, and you don't really know what McCaffrey is yet? Would you do that?
I think this is one that stood out to me too, because currently McCaffrey's ADP is 43. Henry's right behind him at 44. And that gave me some interesting pause, because I was like, if it was a PPR league, I might consider it. I mean, it really depends on where McCaffrey's going to land in the draft and where they can use him. I think as of right now, I would probably take Henry over McCaffrey because I think Henry, I've loved Henry since the whole process last year. And, you know, DeMarco Murray, yeah, I think that both of them can eat and do pretty well, but eventually it's going to be Henry's show where I'm still debating if McCaffrey can be that three down guy that everyone thinks he can be.
So, well, you brought Murray up, and actually, if you look at the ADP here, within this range, within this little window here, it goes Derrick Henry, and then the next running back is DeMarco Murray, and I was going to say that Henry, I still take over McCaffrey pretty cleanly. Murray, though, I'm thinking I'm leaning towards McCaffrey side there over DeMarco Murray just because of the age.
And yeah, just turned 29. I mean, yeah, I would go with McCaffrey over Murray for sure.
And the amount of work he's had in his career to this point, and the Titans have made it pretty clear that they're going to continue to try to just pound the ball as much as possible, and then they'll let Mariota do what he does. So, yeah, I think the road's going to end pretty abruptly for DeMarco Murray here shortly.
Yeah. And now who here is a Joe Mixon believer?
I like Joe Mixon.
Okay. Tim, are you kind of getting on that train after?
I have Joe Mixon ranked third in my rookie rankings.
Okay. Now they, on DLF, on the ADP, they had Mixon ahead of Crowell, but behind Spencer Ware and CJ Procise and CJ Anderson. Now, I love Procise, but honestly, I don't know. I think Mixon has a chance to be the best running back in the class. He's definitely a dark horse, but the situation seems like it's kind of being brushed off a little bit more. And I'd like to say, you know, that might be because of Elliott's little off the field issues. And they say, well, Elliott's doing this. And he helped him out this year. I mean, how bad can it be with Mixon? But I mean, that's comparing apples to oranges. But I mean, I definitely would rather have him over Spencer Ware. I'd like to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, I would absolutely take Joe Mixon over Spencer Ware all day and twice on Sundays. The interesting thing with me, with the players that were in this range, and I know it's a different position, but you know, Jameis Winston is currently the 77th ADP, and I would take him over Joe Mixon at 73.
Yeah, I love Jameis.
If I'm doing a startup right now, yeah.
Yeah, I love Jameis, and I have him in a lot of spots. But I mean, I guess I would probably do the same. I mean, Carr is right ahead of him. But yeah, like CJ Anderson, I'm shocked he's ahead of Procise. And also he's ahead of Spencer Ware. I would take Spencer Ware over Anderson. And
this is an odd spot in the ADP anyways. You got guys that you're either people are taking a stand and saying, yes, I believe in this guy. Guys like Terrell Williams, Cameron Meredith, and then you got guys that maybe have fallen for whatever reason. Martavius Bryant's, you're starting to see some more of the quarterbacks sprinkled in there. Derek Carr, Jameis Winston. I like both of those guys in a startup over Joe Mixon right now. You got guys like Crowell, Willie Snead in here that useful, but nobody's like in love with. It's an odd spot in the ADP for sure. But yeah, when it comes to Joe Mixon, looking at Spencer Ware, CJ Procise, CJ Anderson, the next running back up there, Tevin Coleman, I like Joe Mixon better than all of those other running backs. It's just he's a rookie, and we obviously know he's got the off the field issue. So I think the ADP is correct for what he is right now. I think we're gonna have a big fluctuation in Joe Mixon ADP valuation in another couple weeks.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. Right now, so I'm doing currently in the Capitalist Pigs 2 League, and the my fantasy league ADP on Mixon is 60. So it is definitely rising because you're hearing a lot of talk that only four teams have him off the board when it comes to the NFL draft. There's teams that are interviewing, especially like teams like the Raiders and Detroit, that are giving him interviews, and you're seeing them come out of that with a lot more hope. So I think Mixon's going to crawl into the second round when it's all said and done in the NFL draft, and then you're going to see his ADP, I think, spike pretty considerably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there a chance he does get into the first round?
Is there a chance? Yeah, I think there's a chance, but I don't think he will. I don't think a team's going to take that kind of risk and take him in the first round.
Do you think Kamara goes ahead of him? That is, okay, from an NFL standpoint, I get it, but I don't get it because Mixon is obviously a far superior talent than Kamara, but
I'd say that there's a 30% chance that Kamara can go before him. If teams solely base their draft on who they believe is the better talent, I think Joe Mixon should go before Kamara. But like Doug said, there's reportedly only four teams with him off the board. Yeah. But how many other ones, while he might still be on their board, they just have like a big red circle around his name, like last case scenario, in case of emergency, break glass type thing.
Right.
Now, scenario for you guys. Mixon goes to the Raiders at, what, 26 or something like that? Is he 101?
Well, where's Fournette go?
Fournette goes to Carolina at 8.
They just re-signed. I think you could see him go at 101. I think he's probably more like the 102, though.
Yeah, I think I would still take Fournette at the 101. I mean, you have to bake in the risk with Mixon. I mean, the reviews can be all positive now, but all it takes is one mistake. And, you know, I'd rather take Fournette. I think is if you're drafting at the 1-1, I want to take a quote-unquote safer pick at the 1-1 from an attitude standpoint. So I would still go with Fournette at 1-1, despite Mixon probably being in the better situation, although he's going to have more competition with Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, another one I want to bring up is Mike Williams. He is.
I knew this was coming.
He had a tantalizing pro day. Now, he is ahead of my guy, Dante Moncrief, and Devonta Parker. Now, Chris isn't here to defend himself, and I could only imagine half the things he would say about that. Now, with Moncrief, I'm going to have to say, surprise, surprise, I agree. I would take Mike Williams over Moncrief at the moment. The whole Moncrief thing worries me. The Kamar Aiken signing, I think, means people are saying it means more for Dorsett. Honestly, I think it's more for Moncrief. It worries me about him because, I mean, he showed well. Aiken did, and in Baltimore on the outside. So I hope Moncrief stays healthy. I think that's what he needs. And the Colts need to use him more than a possession guy because he was a speed athletic freak coming out of school. So they need to use him like they did his rookie year. But yeah, what do you guys think about Mike Williams?
Go ahead, Doug.
If it came to a toss-up between Moncrief and Williams, I actually think I would go with Moncrief. I still believe that we're going to see that breakout season come, and I think it's going to be this year. He's going to be one of the players that I'm pretty much all in on this year, as I was last year. So maybe it's just blind faith, or maybe I'm onto something. Who knows? Mike Williams, he didn't do too well at the combine. His pro day made up for it. He ran in the 4.5s, you know, which some people thought he'd run in the 4.6s, a la Laquon Treadwell last year. I like Williams in the right offense. You know, I think he's, I don't know. I just don't think he's going to be a volume play when it comes to him being a wide receiver one. I just don't see a team force feeding him volume. You know, if he goes to Tennessee, you know, with Mariota, they're a run first team with some good, you know, weapons with Matthews and Delanie Walker. So I'm going to go with the, I'll take the, out of these two, I'm going to take the situation because I don't think Williams is going to go with a team with a better quarterback than Andrew Luck. So I'm going to go with the guy that has Andrew Luck at quarterback.
Yeah, that was pretty much going to be my argument. Without knowing a landing spot as of right now, I can't say that I would take Mike Williams over Dante Moncrief or Devontae Parker. I'm not Chris Whitman, and I'm not the leader of the Devontae Parker fan club, but I am a Devontae Parker truther and apologist. But Dante Moncrief is only a year older than Mike Williams.
Yep.
Mike Williams could end up on the Browns. And as of right now, I would love Dante Moncrief's situation much more when it comes to quarterback play over Mike Williams. And plus, well, if Mike Williams goes, like, let's just use the Browns. Is he going to usurp Coleman to be the number one wide receiver there?
Don't forget about Kenny Britt.
I don't think we can use the Browns. I don't think we can use the Browns. I would say let's use Buffalo because I feel like that is a actual chance of happening. I think he's a perfect complement to Sammy Watkins. I worry about Tyrod, but Tyrod is a good enough quarterback to get him some value. Now imagine him there.
As long as Sammy's healthy, I don't think Mike Williams can touch what Sammy is. I think when Sammy's healthy, Sammy can be special. And that's been Sammy's biggest problem is his health. I like Mike Williams, but I just don't see too many spots where he's going to come in and just take over as the number one wide receiver on a team. And while Dante Moncrief isn't the number one wide receiver on his team, Devontae Parker isn't the number one wide receiver on their team. I especially only 1 year difference in age between Dante and Mike Williams. I'm going with Dante.
I'll take the experience.
Okay. Yeah. Now, another guy I want to talk about is John Ross. I mean, everybody's been talking about him. He's at 97 ahead of DeSean Jackson, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, John Brown. Any of those guys would you rather have over John Ross?
I'm actually surprised he's behind Laquon Treadwell.
Yeah, that shocked me too. I feel like everybody's ripping on Treadwell, so I kind of want to lay off him for, you know, maybe a week or two.
I understand the 30-year-old DeSean Jackson issue with the age, but I think if you're in a startup, DeSean Jackson can be a guy that you get later in a draft that can definitely help you out, especially this year. I think that fit down in Tampa is going to be great.
DJX.
Go ahead.
DJX went in the 16th round of our startup.
Hmm. Yeah, I would probably still take Brandon Marshall over John Ross. John Ross seems like that one tool guy. And I know there's some people out there that say, I like my prospects to have one tool that when all else fails, they can lean on. I would much rather have a guy that's like really good at a bunch of things than one guy that's just great at one thing, because one thing isn't going to consistently win all the time. So, I mean, speed can be taken away with a safety over the top, with off coverage, things like that. So Ross's speed, it's fun to watch. It was a great story, but that doesn't impress me nearly as much as it does for some other people. So I think I'm like Eric Decker. I'm going to still lean towards some of these veterans over John Ross at this point.
Okay. Now I also have a couple more things. Okay. We talked about Alvin Kamara, and he is one spot ahead of Ty Montgomery. Who would you rather have out of those two? With the Packers signing Christine Michael, do you think they dip into the pot early at running back, or do you think they're okay with kind of a Christine Michael, Ty Montgomery type duel, and, you know, they'll figure it out from there?
I don't think that they go early on running back at all. They have a lot of other needs on that team above running back. My thing on Ty Montgomery is, so he was kind of thrust into the running back spot this year. Now he's got a whole offseason. They've declared him the running back. So I think that his job is relatively safe. I mean, they might bring in a veteran. I've heard rumors of LeGarrette Blount possibly going to Green Bay, but we'll see what happens. I like Montgomery quite a bit because you can use him as a Swiss Army knife out of the backfield. You can split him out wide if you want to. I mean, he could be a poor man's Christian McCaffrey if they want to use him that way, because he can do similar things because of the experience. He's not the athlete that McCaffrey was, don't get me wrong there, but I like Montgomery between the tackles. And, you know, Christine Michael, That signing to me was like, all right, well, it's Ty Montgomery time. Let's go. So I would take Montgomery over Kamara because Montgomery's in an elite offense, and I like what his role could shape up to be in 2017.
Yeah, Montgomery offers you that PPR support as well. He's very good. Yeah, I mean, obviously, they had him at wide receiver there for a while, so they know he can catch the ball. So I like the PPR possibilities there. And I hadn't heard the LeGarrette Blount rumor to Green Bay, but I was thinking that a guy like Foreman – or maybe like a James Conner, one of the bigger, you know, heftier backs might be a fit there in Green Bay if they can get him in a mid-round pick, just because I think they want a guy for the goal line type scenario. And while they maybe weren't happy with Eddie Lacy and his weight, they did like the size he had. They do tend to appreciate a bigger back there in Green Bay, especially when it gets really cold. So you might see one of these bigger backs get taken, but I don't think that they're going to just come in and like usurp Ty Montgomery or just take anything away from him. He's definitely won the role there for now.
Yeah, Green Bay definitely likes to go hogging now and then. So
they like big backs, and they cannot lie.
That's very true. All right, now the last guy I want to talk about in this little segment is O.J. Howard, and he is ahead of Jimmy Graham. Now, Jimmy Graham is 30, so let's compare the two. O.J. Howard without a team right now, or Jimmy Graham with him coming back from that PCL and being very effective when we didn't see him be effective the year before. Which one of these two would you prefer?
Doug, go ahead.
So for me, it's O.J. Howard 100% of the time. So Jimmy Graham looked really good in the first half of the season, but if you look at his performance over the last, you know, half or, you know, quarter of the season, he didn't do anything. And I just think when Russell Wilson's healthy, I think that he's not going to rely on the tight end as much. You know, when he wasn't healthy and he couldn't move around, that's when Graham did his best. But towards the end of the season, when Russell Wilson's knee was a lot healthier and he could move around, Graham was really the forgotten guy in that offense. So I'm taking O.J. Howard and the unknown all day over Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, OJ Howard, just go back and look at those combine numbers. A man of his size shouldn't be doing what that specimen did. This guy's putting up like crazy numbers. I mean, this guy is an awesome talent at the tight end position. Jimmy Graham, while he was very surprising coming back from the injury, 30 years old with the wear and tear he's had, I cannot imagine Jimmy Graham is going to be around too much longer. OJ Howard, if he was lucky, he could end up with a 12-year career and put up some Gronk-like numbers possibly in the process.
Okay. Now we are going to move over to our next segment, and we got this on Twitter. A lot of people kind of want to know about rookie quarterbacks in a super flex or two quarterbacks. Now we are just going to go through kind of a rookie draft. Fellas, we have a rookie draft coming up in a super flex in the UD or ULP. Yeah, it's one of those.
UDPL.
There it is. I'm not good with letters.
But, I got you.
But yeah, we have a rookie draft coming up there. I have the third pick. I think Tim has the fourth. Mm-hmm. And Doug, I'm not sure, were you drafting the first?
I have the 1-9 and then I have the 2-1.
Okay. Yeah, and a lot of people are wondering where you should kind of look at that quarterback in rookie drafts. Now, I'm going to bring up the top five quarterbacks in my mind. You guys can add anybody if you want. But we're going to look at the official rookie ADP for DLF, and we will, you know, I'll name some players and you'll kind of give me a spot where you're okay with taking a quarterback. Now we'll start off with Deshaun Watson, who seems like is a consensus quarterback one for all of us. Now we have Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Corey Davis rounding up the top three. Are those guys locked even in Superflex?
For me, they are. I don't love any of these guys in this class. I say Deshaun Watson is going to start. I would start looking at Deshaun Watson at the 104, 105 range.
Okay. Doug?
Yeah, I would agree. So I'm a little bit of a newbie on the Superflex thing. So I haven't drafted in Superflex yet. So me at the 1-9, and I need a quarterback. So because I have Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer, and Jay Cutler. Yay. Yeah. I was a little late to the quarterback train in that league, but I'm definitely going to be looking at a QB in the first round, and I can probably tell you that the first couple won't make it to me at the 9. But I would say Watson, I mean, you could probably put Mixon in there and maybe McCaffrey, so maybe Watson would slip to the 1-6, but I don't see him going any further than that.
Okay. Now, we'll keep going a little further. You have Mike Williams at 4, McCaffrey, and then Mixon. Are those 6, let's say? Would you guys put a quarterback in any of those, that level? Would you guys kind of go 5 or 6? Or because I honestly, I feel like the positional value you get, like a Christian McCaffrey is safe. And these quarterbacks, like Tim mentioned, don't seem like they're the for sure, you know, Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston. They're kind of dark horses, and you almost don't feel like you want to waste that top 6 pick on something you're not quite sure of or get value out of year one, which you might with these guys. How about the top six, any quarterbacks rolling into there?
Just real quick, we saw two quarterbacks go 1-2 last year in the NFL draft. And then in some two QB leagues I was playing in, QBs weren't coming off the board until like 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there in a lot of these. So we're talking about a quarterback class, the league itself, the NFL, is lower on by consensus.
Yep.
You know, there might be like that QB2 might actually fall to you at 109 there, Doug.
I would be thrilled.
Currently my QB2 is Mitch Trubisky. The potential of the kid, I understand what he's played a whole 13 games in his college career, something like that, but he's 6'3", 212. He's got the stature. His tape shows a young man still learning how to play the position at the college level, because sometimes he looks like an all-star and sometimes he looks like he just has a whole lot of questions going on and he's not sure what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But I think the upside of Mitch Trubisky lends itself for at least him being my QB2. So Mitch Trubisky, I'm going to put him at like the 8 or 9 spot. I think that's where I would feel comfortable with him. I'm sure that in plenty of 2QB leagues, he's going to go before that. But I just don't feel comfortable with this QB class, at least for the first round.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the thing with me is if you're drafting just on talent alone, You know, you're not going to hit that. You're not going to hit those QBs until the 1-7. Those top six players to me are all more talented at their prospective positions than the QBs are. So, and Watson's my number one guy. So I wouldn't start considering him until 1-7 unless I had a team need, which in my case,
I was just about to say that 1-7 is probably my giving point.
Yeah. And if you have a team need where you need a young quarterback, then that's where you're, you know, you're either trying to trade up a few spots or you're, you know, hoping to wait for the QB one or QB two to make it to you. And I'm kind of in that situation. So I may send you trade offers during the draft. but it'll be interesting to see, especially, you know, we're in this particular league is tight end premium as well. So you got to throw in some of the OJ Howard and David Njoku or Joku. I don't know if he dropped the N or not. I'm not sure.
Soft J. I don't know.
Soft J. Naku. I don't know.
Yagi.
So these are players that might jump up too, based on your format. Mm-hmm. Where in a regular draft, they're going to be a little bit later. So there's definitely a lot of variables in this draft. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But for me, if it's best player available, I don't think QB until number 7.
Okay. Now we'll go with non tight end premium. I will name off the top 5, and you guys both tell me where you're comfortable taking him.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson.
I would say the 5-6 range is more comfortable for me.
Okay.
Yeah, six or seven for me.
Okay. Yep. And I would agree. I would say 7 because I think there is a consensus big six in this class. And with Mike Williams running that 40 in the 4.5s, I think he jumped into that big six. Otherwise, if he would have been like a 4.6, I could see Deshaun Watson being 105 or 106. And then Williams falling. Mm-hmm. All right. Mitch Trubisky.
The 109.
Okay.
Yeah, Doug? I would say 108, 109 is a good ballpark.
Okay. Now, my guy, Kaiser.
See, where would you have Kaiser at, Tyler?
I have him ahead of Trubisky. I think Watson will be a better pro. I don't know if he'll be a better fantasy football player. I think Kaiser has the highest ceiling by far. I mean, we'll talk about him and his pro day after this. That's our next segment, is rookie risers and fallers after their pro days. But it seemed like his arrow's pointing up because of his pro day. And I would actually have him around 108, 109. And then Trubisky kind of 112 falling into the early second. I fear about Trubisky. I watched the Gruden camp and he was raving about him. But man, there's some flaws in his delivery. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I agree with you. See, I have Kaiser in that range, like the 111, 112 range.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't hate Kaiser, but I don't love any of these quarter. I mean, I've said it now multiple times, but yeah. I don't get that warm fuzzy from any of these guys.
I actually have Mahomes above Kaiser.
Oh, I mean, Tim was just talking about molding a quarterback, the size. Kaiser's 6'4", 230, rocket arm. I mean,
it's not very accurate, though.
Yeah, but all these coaches are saying he has the intangibles.
Very Zach Mettenberger-like.
Well, oh. Zach Mettenberger did not have, quote-unquote, intangibles. I mean, he was the opposite of intangibles. He was the untangibles.
rocket arm, but couldn't hit a bar with it. You
know? Yes. Kaiser showed promise, and he had Equanimeous St. Brown, who I think is going to be a top 5 rookie pick next year. But yeah, I mean, he had a big time receiver. I think he'll need that in the next level. He'll need a guy like that. I think Buffalo would be a good fit for him because I think him and Sammy would mold really well. So if they picked him at 10, I would love that because he can wait a year under Tyrod. And then
at 10. Wow.
Yeah, I honestly think that's a possibility. Or I think a team trades up into the first, a team like Cleveland. I would love to see him with Cleveland because I think Hugh Jackson does wonders with quarterbacks.
Well, they have the 112, so they could take a quarterback there.
Yeah, but I doubt it. I mean, I think we know Garrett's going 101. And yeah, then, yeah, at 12, I honestly could see them going. You hear the rumors about OJ Howard, and I honestly think that is, I feel like that could be a lock because they had him with the Senior Bowl. He's a guy I feel like is a can't miss prospect. He's a guy that, even in rookie drafts, I have him ranked 7. I'm the highest in our rookie
rankings.
But yeah, I mean, I think Howard's the real deal. I love it.
Yeah, I think it's going to take some bad luck for Howard not to have a pretty decent career.
Yeah, I agree
with that. Yep, big time.
All right, now our next one is Mahomes. Like you stated, where would you guys have him slated in rookie drafts for Superflex.
All right, Doug, you have him as your third QB. So where would you take him at?
Yeah, I would be comfortable taking Mahomes right at the bottom of the first, top of the second. I think that if he goes to a team like Arizona, I mean, people think it's crazy that they would take him at, I think they're picking 13th. But you know, Carson Palmer's got one more year in the tank, if that. So why wouldn't you take Mahomes, groom him under Palmer for a year, and then pair him with David Johnson? You're still going to have John Brown. Obviously, Fitzgerald is a question mark. But I could see Arizona being a great landing spot for Mahomes, and in an Arians offense, like that would be a perfect fit.
See, I actually think Kaiser's a better, but I don't want to say he's a better fit in Arizona. I think he fits that coaching staff. I think he likes the bigger arm that Kaiser has. So I think, you know, it depends on how much say the coach has in the pick. But if it came down to those two, I think they'd probably lean Kaiser. Now I have Mahomes just behind Kaiser in my ranking, so they're real close. So I said Kaiser in the 11-12. So I got Mahomes at like the 12 or the 201. I mean, they're neck and neck for me. Yeah. It's splitting hairs. So yeah, I'm not too much further off on Mahomes than you are, apparently.
Yeah, I'm with you, Doug. I like Mahomes. I watch a lot of his tape. He reminds me of Matt Stafford in the younger years, mixed with Philip Rivers' arm delivery at times. And Cutler. He looks a lot like Cutler. I don't care, I'm going to gun it in there. But he seems like he's a smarter kid than Cutler. Like he's got a better attitude.
Well, his dad was a pro athlete, so that probably helps. And he was a major league pitcher for a lot of years. He actually played for the Twins, as you probably know, being up in Minnesota. So
nice. Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to... This is off football, but speaking of the Twins, I've given up on my Arizona Diamondbacks. I told them I'd give them one more year, and that was last year with Zach Greinke. They blew it for me. They made stupid trades. I can't do it anymore. I become a homer. I'm a Twins fan now. That's my Twins story. But yeah, Mahomes, he's got so much to go. Like he's got all the tools. He's got a lot to work with. Yeah, I mean, he just seems like he'll be able to take coaching better than Cutler. But he's got the arm like Cutler, so he's got tons of upside. And I love Mahomes. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch tape on.
See, here's my thing with this QB class. Like, I don't see a guy out of the gate that I absolutely love, but there are things about a lot of these guys that if Kaiser can work on that accuracy and get that down, if Mahomes can maybe not be so gunslinger-esque and maybe reel that back, there are some traits to a lot of these guys where you're like, these guys could be successful NFL quarterbacks. So you, especially in the two QB and the super flex leagues, you still have to take shots, because if these guys end up hitting, that position scarcity is worth so much in those leagues that you need these young quarterbacks to come in and hopefully pan out. It just stinks when they don't.
Yeah, yep. I think that this class would be like the perfect Franken QB. If you could take all these top five QBs and make one quarterback,
take a piece at each guy,
it would be amazing, right?
Kaiser's side, Mahomes' crazy ability to throw off balance. You'd have Watson's deep ball
and his game,
his mental,
his like, I'm coming in here and I'm winning this game. Like, you're not gonna stop me.
Big game going. Quarterback, absolutely.
Yeah. Trubisky's looks. That's all I got. But no. All right. One last quarterback. We have is it Davis Webb?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Davis Webb from Cal. He is a high riser. A lot of people are saying he could even go in the first round, which is nuts to me. I mean, if he goes in the first, that would mean Mahomes would probably be a first round pick too.
Yeah.
In my mind. So that being five quarterbacks in the first round, unless Kaiser absolutely slips, but with the new news, I doubt that. So yeah, there could be five quarterbacks in the first round in a poor quarterback class that everybody's talking about how it's just down. That's nuts. But back to the question at hand, Webb, where would he be in a rookie draft?
Well, I'm just going to, we'll get to Webb in a second, but I just want to point out that, so I read a lot of NFL mock drafts and they might only have two QBs in the first round. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, there's no way there's only going to be two quarterbacks taken in the first round in a QB starving league where there's plenty of spots for guys to sit. I mean, like you just said, Tyler, I wouldn't be surprised to see five quarterbacks in the first round. And Davis Webb, again, you talked about being a high riser. He had a pretty nice combine. He's accurate. He's from a good system in Cal, which we just saw Jared Goff come out of. So I think Webb could be, if he doesn't go in the first round, he could be like that Jimmy Garoppolo where a team takes him in the second round and, you know, and sits on him for a little bit behind a veteran. Like, say the Chiefs, you know, they draft him and they put him behind Alex Smith because Alex Smith is a Jag. So I could see Davis Webb going to a place like Kansas City and being their starter in the next couple years.
Now, how much does Jared Goff this past year affect the Davis Webb is my question. Like Jared Goff coming from that, what do they call it there? The Bear Raid offense.
Yeah.
And then having his struggles this first year. I don't know if that's going to affect Webb too much. You said five quarterbacks in the first round. I think 3 to 4 is probably going to be the sweet spot. I think five's a little heavy for this class.
I don't think Webb makes it into the first round, but I wouldn't be shocked if he did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Honestly, between Webb, I have Webb, and then I have Chad Kelly really close together. And if Chad Kelly wasn't, I don't know. Yeah, a numbskull is a very nice way of saying what I was going to try to articulate. If Chad Kelly just realized that maybe he's not like a unicorn and he's not that special. He's a quarterback and he's got a very unique set of skills and he's a very talented quarterback.
But got a unique set of skills.
Yeah,
but the amazing quarterbacks.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But there are 32 other.
I'll find you.
Yes, and I will kill you. There are 32 starting NFL quarterbacks, so you're not that special. You know, and he's not even a starting NFL quarterback at this point. So if he just, gets himself off whatever pedestal he has himself on and comes back down to earth a little bit, humbles himself, I think talent-wise, he's one of the top talented quarterbacks in this class. It's just he's a bit of a numbskull, we'll use.
D-bag?
I was going to say douche. Yes, that's exactly where I was going to go. But so, I thought that might have been too harsh.
I think, so we talked about Davis Webb's ADP. I would probably, depending on landing spot, maybe end of the second round, top of the third. I would definitely use a flyer on Chad Kelly, though. If you're at the point where you're drafted, you're kind of looking at like, all right, wide receiver and running backs, nothing's really exciting me, and I'm in a super flex league. Like, why not take Chad Kelly with a late third pick and see if it works out?
In a 2QB or a super flex league, like I said, I got Webb and Kelly pretty close. I'm going to take them both towards the middle or back end of the second round. And the Kelly pick is purely based on the on-the-field product. I think the kid has talent to play the game of football. I could just easily write in a storyline where he just, he messes up and he's out of the league within a couple years because he just can't, contain himself. He can't control himself.
I think him and Zamora at wide receiver are very similar situations. So it'll be interesting to see where they go in drafts.
Yeah, I would have to say, with a nickname of the Liam Nielsen of the quarterbacks this year, I feel like he is a good guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah. You always need a guy with a certain set of skills.
Yes. But no, back to Webb, I would probably go mid to late second. I think he's got a lot of skill. He's got a big arm. And he was a transfer, so he didn't always play under that Bear Raid. So that worries me less. All right, we'll go into our next topic, and this is risers and fallers after their pro days. Now, I'm just going to name off a few guys, kind of tell you a couple of things from their pro days that I heard. You know, there's some news stories about it, but see if that helps their cause in your rookie rankings and in your rookie drafts. The first one is Juju Smith-Schuster. He had a pretty good three cone. It was a 6.89 or 6.87 around there, and a 4.5, mid 4.5 in the 40 again. Juju, is he kind of, I know Tim, you still like him. Is he kind of a steady, this is where he's at now, or is he rising or falling?
Well, for me, I have him as my third wide receiver. I have him behind Corey Davis and Mike Williams. So for me, I think he just kind of cemented that spot for himself. Any bit of doubts I had, I think he's kind of erased those a little bit. Now, obviously, you like the sub-7 three cone, but let's be honest, that's no McCaffrey three cone either. I have Juju as a locked and loaded first round pick in rookie drafts. I have him my seventh player overall. So I like I said, I think that locks him in. I think a couple people will probably move him up a spot or two in some of their ranks, but we'll have to wait and see.
Doug?
Yeah, Yeah, Tim, you're pretty much in the same mindset that I am. I have him as my third best receiver, and right in that same 1-7 spot. You know, some of the reports out of his pro day too were a lot of swagger and a lot of excitement was showing there.
That's so, that USC swag
and the USC backwards swag. Hat.
Yeah,
he had a backwards hat as well.
Yeah,
the Treadwell hat. Yes.
Do you think he did that on purpose because everybody's comping him to Treadwell because of he's slow, this.
And then he goes out and like, yeah, these aren't Treadwell numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might
have been it.
Yeah, I love Juju. So, I think he solidified his stock as a third best wide receiver. I think he probably goes somewhere, not in rookie drafts, but in the NFL draft in the second round. I actually think he would be, we talked about Buffalo earlier, and if they don't take a wide receiver at 10, towards the top of the second round,
that's Juju a good pit, the Bills
would be a really good fit. Really good fit.
That I like that fit almost better than I do Mike Williams because he's the route runner. He is the
more technical.
Low end Amari Cooper, the poor man's. Yeah. But Sammy is the all-star and he will take coverage away from Juju. Yeah, I could see that working out really well for them.
Yep.
All right, our next guy is Mike Williams. He ran the 4.50 40 and his pro day 4.51 around there. I think we talked about him. How he's kind of back into the big six. Is he at 5 or 6 for you guys?
I have him at 5. I had him at 5 before his pro day. So I was just, it was like, just don't make me look stupid here, Mike. So he went out there and he did enough to make me think, okay, with his physical traits, the way he plays on the field, he doesn't have to just be some sort of stud out there. He doesn't have to blow everybody away with the numbers. He just has to have solid numbers to make people think, okay, these numbers are good enough. We've seen the product on the field. We like this guy. And that's what I saw out of Mike Williams. I was happy enough with the numbers. Nothing blew me away. Nothing made me go, oh, wow, look at this. But he did enough.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we all were waiting for that 40 time, and it came in at a good time. The only thing I have to knock Mike Williams on is his running style when he was doing the 40.
Yeah.
He was really weird. He was really weird looking. I was like, what the hell is that?
He was running from wolves.
Yeah. Also, another Liam Neeson movie. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Bringing it all back together. I love it.
Perfect. All right. This one, Chris won't like too much. Elijah Hood runs a 4.63 in his pro day. And a lot of scouts said he looked overweight. He's Eddie Lacy in his career right from the start. Now, are you guys worried about that?
I think he should have stayed in school. He should have stayed in school for another year.
Okay.
Yeah, that has to concern you. That has to concern you. Now, I never knew, I never heard anything about Elijah Hood having any sort of weight problems before weight management. But if he's showing up to a pro day looking a little heavier than normal, it's not like they just showed up on campus and like, hey, do you mind doing some drills? This is a scheduled event. Like, you should be training for this. You should be getting ready. Or just let them know, like, hey, look, I'm not going to participate, So that just shows a lack of work ethic and
not a good look.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
The Twinkies, hide behind your back. Oh yeah, I'm not going to participate.
Oh hey, what are you guys doing here?
You guys got some ringdings at the table over there. What's going on?
I've got a meeting with little Debbie later.
So yeah, if you're not gonna show up prepared for a scheduled event where you're gonna have to work out, do some sort of physical activities, then these teams can't expect you to come into camp ready. They can't expect you to, put forth the effort in training camp and then come the season. So you're just killing yourself here.
All right. My next one is awesome for me. Corey Clement runs a 4.54 40 and around a 7.3 cone. And a lot of scouts said he was doing receiving drills really well, which kind of saved the, he's a 1 and 2 down plotter. What do you guys think? Because this makes me happy. I want to know what you guys think.
I'll let you take Corey Clement over me all day in every draft. I'm not a big Clement guy. I just don't see it with him. You know, watching the Senior Bowl and some of his tape, I don't know. He doesn't have that it factor. He doesn't excite me at all. I mean, he might be a grinder in the NFL as a third or fourth string guy, but I don't know. I just can't put any stock in him.
Yeah, I'm right there aligned with Doug on this one. I see Corey Clement as a depth running back in the NFL. Maybe find a little bit of work towards the end of games if a team's got it wrapped up. But Currently in last month's ADP, Corey Clement is going off the board as the 59th rookie. So that's at the end of four rounds.
Undrafted.
Woo. Yeah. I mean, he's going, I'm sorry. That's 4.9. So that's almost, you know, the fifth round.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if people are more aligned like you are, Tyler, with your way of thinking here on Corey Clement, then he's a free pickup for you pretty much. You take him with your last pick in the draft, and if he works out, you look like a genius, and if not, it doesn't really burn you.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Isaiah Crowell, his rookie year. He didn't really have that crazy athleticism. Crowell didn't look crazy athletic his first year until he finally got it last year, I felt. Until last year, I think he finally got how to play.
Crowell had a couple flashes. Like I couldn't even tell you what team they were playing, but it was an inside run. He dances up to the hole, realizes it's not there, and he just breaks it to the outside and outruns everybody to the corner and gets in the end zone. And I think that was like after two or three plays where they were still trying to pound Terrence West to see if he could do anything. And he that was the first time I thought, man, Terrence West just isn't going to work out and Crowell's going to be the guy.
All right, so, I got a comp for Clement. I just thought of it. Crowell mixed with CJ Anderson.
Yeah,
CJ Anderson doesn't have the speed, so that's where Clement kind of he has the acceleration, but not the speed. And then he's kind of got the body type of Crowell.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm just not with you on Clement like you are.
I'm glad you're leaving. No, I'm kidding.
This is just going to be your guy, man. And everybody seems to have a guy. Him. Yeah. So this is your guy this year, Corey Clement. And hey, if he hits, you get to be one of the people stand on top of that hill and be like, I told you guys so. Told you.
You get to tout him and be like, he was my guy.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you know what? If he falls, it's not that far of a drop, it seems. So
nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now, the next ones are Mitch Trubisky, Kizer, and Webb. All of them look really well. Kizer has the mentality, the leadership. Everybody's talking about Trubisky has the arm talent. And Webb just looks good all around. A lot of people say he just looks like he's a natural-born quarterback. All these guys are risers. We talked about them, so I'll kind of move them off to the side. Now, another guy that a lot of people love is Zay Jones. He is shining every step of the way. When it comes to the Senior Bowl, when it goes to the combine, now in his pro day, he did great stuff. Zay Jones, is he in your guys' first round?
No, not in my first round.
He's on the fringe for me. I love Zay Jones. So when you talk about Senior Bowl, the combine, he just looks so polished, and he looks like he's been a guy that's been he looks like a veteran in his drills that he was running. So I like Zay quite a bit. And the question for him is, do you guys think that he's going to be a slot guy or an outside guy? That seems to be the biggest thing. You know, he's about an inch shorter than Allen Robinson, but everyone's pinning him as a slot receiver. I think he can play outside. On the outside.
Yeah, he's outside for me, easy.
Yeah, and I think so too. And to me, if he goes to the right team, I think he could be a back end first round rookie pick just because he's polished, the route running. I know he's a volume receiver in college, but with all that volume comes experience. And I think that's paid off huge for him. Plus, supposedly, all the interviews he killed, he's a great kid. He's a hard worker. Not the lunch pail type like a Rex Burkhead or a Ryan Switzer.
I love Switzer. Or Shazier.
So do I.
No.
Yeah.
That's an inside joke from the old episode. So
Zay Jones, to me, is a guy that I think could be the hit of the draft if everything works out, if the landing spot is good for him.
Yeah, Zay Jones is a guy that's been climbing and climbing and climbing. You know, East Carolina product, like Doug said, a lot of targets in college.
Tons.
So people are just saying, oh, well, of course he put up those numbers with all those targets. But there's something to be said about that. I mean, there was games against some of the bigger conference schools, and he put up numbers against them too. So the kid has shown he can do it. And then in the Senior Bowl, I believe they had him playing on the outside. And
he was, yeah.
He played lights out in that Senior Bowl. So he's shown the ability to play on the outside against some of the toughest competition at his level. So I think teams are at least going to give him a shot, give him a look out there. But I also believe that's probably where he could work out in the league. I think Zay Jones currently is like the 203 to 205 region for me.
Yeah, and okay, I got to mention this. Zay Jones, his whole process, isn't that what we kind of wanted Corey Davis to do? Let's be honest, a small school guy that put up these numbers, why are people not higher on Zay Jones? Is it the name? Because Corey Davis went to a small school, and we would hope that Corey Davis put up these type of numbers for metrics and all that.
But we don't know. I mean, he didn't do the combine. He didn't do his pro day.
That's the thing. So why is Zay Jones kind of still further?
I think Zay Jones was just, we came upon him late in the process. So Corey Davis has been touted as a elite prospect for a while. And Jones has been kind of hanging out in the shadows. And it took really until the Senior Bowl for his name to get out there to the masses for people to really recognize him, where Corey Davis, you know, draft Twitter has been on him for quite a while. So I think Jones has, you know, really surprised some people. I wouldn't be surprised, and this might be a fiery hot take, I wouldn't be surprised if Zay Jones has just a good, if not better, career than Corey Davis does.
Do you think he could get drafted ahead of Corey Davis now that Corey Davis hasn't done anything? Okay.
I think Davis will be a first-round pick, top 15 to 20. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't disagree with it. I just want to get your guys' take. Now, sure. The last guy I want to mention is Amara Darboh. He is a surprising guy to me because I'm in Big Ten country. This guy did not look absolutely special, but he is posting special type numbers in this combine and pro day. It's very confusing to me. Coaches and scouts are saying he looks super athletic. I didn't see this. I don't know if it's because all your eyes are on the defense when you watch Michigan, but I didn't see anything special out of this guy. Am I missing something?
If you watch his tape, you're not going to see any like one play that you're going to be able to hang your hat on and be like, this is why he's going to win in the NFL. But he's got a lot of good traits. He's definitely got good size. And then, yeah, these numbers that he's putting up, the numbers are better than I was expecting, honestly. And when we did our site's first rookie mock draft, probably a month ago at this point now, I got him in the fourth round in that. And there was a lot of like, maybe not snickering, but people were just like, yeah, kind of a waste of pick there. Yeah, like, really. So I can't. In the fourth round, I can't say that I was a believer, but out of our crew, I was obviously the highest on him. Now, I'm thinking he's starting to climb, and he's probably worked himself into the third or if not second round of rookie drafts at this point.
He reminds me a lot of a slightly more athletic Anquan Boldin.
Very. Ooh, good. I was going to say that because Anquan Boldin was a great college player, just didn't put up numbers in the combine. Darboh's actually doing the opposite. Didn't put up the numbers in college, but is putting up good numbers in the combine. Yeah, but he's a big receiver like, you know, Boldin was. So, yeah, I can see it to a point.
Yeah, I mean, Boldin had one good year at FSU, 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns. So, obviously, the stats are better than Darboh. But just watching him do drills and working out, I saw, like, a young, maybe a little bit more quick twitch than Boldin had. That's what I see when I watch Darboh.
Yeah, I was going to say that comp with you. I agree. But, I mean, if we're comping him to Boldin, I mean, we should be taking him at one.
Well, he was a historic wide receiver.
Yeah. His rookie year was very historic. I think it was like, 12 to 1,400 yards?
Yeah.
He had the most catches over the first 5 years of his career of all time, I think.
All right, it looks like Doug froze and he had to jump out. So we're just going to go ahead and wrap up for this week. We want to thank Doug for coming on. You can follow him on Twitter at DA Fantasy Father. That's the Fantasy Father. That's Doug Eddy. He also has the Trophy Time podcast and tffgurus.com is the website where he can be found at. And that Trophy Time podcast, you can also find that not only as he mentioned all the different podcast listening platforms, but over at the dynastyhappyhour.com website. You got to go over there. You got to check our site out, man. This site is, well, obviously Tyler and I shared a lot of the responsibility of building it. So if you're ever going to get a good review of the site, it's going to come from us especially, but go over and check it out for yourself. We got a great group of writers. We don't tell any of these guys, we don't assign work. So everything these guys are writing, it's a passion project. It's something these guys wanted to do. And you're going to feel it when you read some of these articles, I'm telling you. So go over there, check out the articles, check out the rankings, check out all the podcasts that are part of this awesome, awesome network we've started to build over there. And Tyler, you are sporting one of the best shirts I think I've ever seen. It is a beautiful gray shirt with some blue lettering, DHH apparel over at the site, Dynasty Happy Hour t-shirts. They look great, my man. You make one hell of a model too. I gotta
thanks.
Tell you.
They're great shirts. And I just want to mention there's only 5 days left to buy one of these great shirts.
And why is that?
Because there's only 5 days left until there's a chance you can join us in the NFL Draft podcast. It's a live show. Tim is actually going to be there. We just talked about it. He gave me the okay that he will be there for a couple hours. So that is also an added plus. You know, everybody heard earlier he is leaving us after next weekend, which is sad, but he will be back to join us for that podcast. And that is what we want. That is an added bonus. It's a win-win. It's a win-win-win now.
Yeah.
You buy it, you get a shirt, you can join us for the pod, and Tim's going to be there. It's the NFL draft.
The full trifecta.
Yes, we had a great time last year. It was so much fun just to kind of talk about the picks. I mean, talk about just anything in general. We talked about when Corey Coleman got drafted. There was a bunch of people that said, "Ugh, I was the odd man out," because even though it's the Browns, I still loved him. It's a good time. And Steve, I got to give him credit. He liked Corey yeah. Coleman. Yeah. But yeah, it's a fun time, and you can join us. You only have 5 days, but I mean, every shirt you buy gives you a ticket into
the drawing.
Into the drawing. So yeah, they're great shirts.
Now, like Tyler said, if you buy a t-shirt, you get entered in the drawing. You can sit in with us during the draft episode podcast while the draft's going on live. We're shooting the breeze. Obviously, when a dynasty type rookie gets selected, the conversation kind of centers on that individual pick, the fit, how it's going to adjust his value and rookie rankings and where he's going to start going in rookie draft. But yeah, I mean, we'll get these runs on defensive players and offensive linemen, things like that. And there might be a little bit of chatter about those players, about the like fit, IDP. Things like that. Yeah. But overall, when that kind of stuff's going on, there's no telling where this conversation is going to go. Yeah. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. With the offensive linemen being taken in the offensive linemen leagues, we kind of should.
I don't think I'd want to. Man, that'd be a weird league.
That'd yeah, be bad.
So, real quick, you can find me over on Twitter at TimDynastyFF. You can shoot us emails, DynastyHappyHour@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on the website, DynastyHappyHour.com. There's a contact the show form, so we get all that kind of information. You can find Chris at ChrisWhitman11 on Twitter. And Tyler, what about you? What about you? And
you can find me at DHH Gunth, and next week Chris will also be gone. So we will have, for Tim's last episode, Jordan Nutter from Jet Set Dynasty coming on to talk more about rookies the closer it gets to the rookie drafts and the NFL draft. And I'm sure there'll be some takes on Dalvin Cook's pro day, which is the 28th. So mark that down to calendar. And also, Tim, I want to mention who our replacement will be for you. We already got him set. It is Riley Bymaster from the DTC. We got John Paul Hurley's, you know,
blessing.
Word that, his blessing. He said it was okay. We are doing this because, Tim, we are hopeful we get you back in the future. And Riley already knows he is kind of an interim replacement, but he's going to be a good one. He's very knowledgeable. He knows his stuff, and he's a Notre Dame fan, which is an added plus.
Yeah, Riley's going to be a great fit for the show. He's going to do some really good things with you guys. So I look forward, obviously, to keep listening to the episodes, even when I'm not on them. I'll actually probably enjoy listening to them more, because it's weird listening to yourself. But I listen to every episode, even I was live for the conversation. I'll listen to this tomorrow. So,
yep. And I mean, Tim's going to do some writing for us still. He's still going to rank. He's not going away. He's like that gnat at a picnic. You may think he's gone, but he's right on your neck.
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting.
Like a mosquito in the Midwest.
So go over to iTunes, Stitcher, whatever platform you listen to us on. Leave us a rating review. That helps us out greatly. It gets the show the recognition that I feel it deserves, and hopefully you do too. So go over there, leave us a good rating review. And that's going to do it for me, Tyler.
Yeah, everybody, good luck in your, you know, this upcoming week, and we will be back next week. And until then,
draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at ChrisWhitman11, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.